Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Hope you're all doing well today. We want to welcome you to worship. Start off with announcements that need to be highlighted.
You will see in the bulletin this morning the order form for the Tribute of Roses for Mother's Day. We would like to have the orders to get roses for any of the women in your life that you love. So please get your orders in by next Sunday if you're able.
And the Avon Walk Against Hunger forms, if you want to walk and get sponsors, there's forms in the back. If you just want to sponsor, you can find someone who's walking. You can sponsor us.
Anyone else with announcements? General Conference of the United Methodist Church starts this week. It will be going for that 10-day time frame. So we want to keep in prayer all of the delegations that are going to be gathering from around the world for the General Conference of the Church. And we want to welcome those who come online to worship with us, as well as those on the radio. And I would ask all of you to please have an attitude of prayer as we begin worship today.
Join me in the call to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need.
God lets me rest in green meadows and leads me beside peaceful streams.
God guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name.
Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for he is close beside me.
God's rod and staff protect me and comfort me.
God's goodness and unfailing love will pursue us all the days of our lives, and we will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. scripture this morning is Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is God's word for God's people.
Name of the Lord.
I've shared before that a lot of the words and ideas in the Bible get lost in the translation. Because a lot of times what happens is, you know, when we're going from Hebrew and Greek that the Bible was written in and we try to translate them into comparable English words, the problem is sometimes that we can't always bring the ideas of the first century Middle East into 21st century America completely. And this passage from John's Gospel is one of those passages that we can't fully understand it until we better understand Jesus' world. The agrarian culture of the Middle East, the theology of the Old Testament, and even to a degree the language, the Greek, that was used to write the New Testament. I'm going to give you one example here, one of the most beloved verses of the New Testament that we just read. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then just a few sentences later, he repeats that phrase, "I am the good shepherd." I have to tell you, when I hear this sentence, my mind immediately goes to a picture of Jesus standing in a field of grass, holding a baby lamb, and surrounded by contented, gentle sheep. I think of that because that picture was literally over my head as a little boy in my bedroom. And I suspect for a lot of people, when we read that sentence and we go to interpret the verse, a lot of it hinges on our understanding of the word good. The dictionary says good means superior to the average, such as a good student. Another definition of good, it's of high quality. And no one is going to argue that Jesus does not fit those ideas of being good. But in the Greek, the word that's used for good is kalos, and it has a deeper, a more intense meaning to it. It is noble, moral excellence. So I think a better way to translate that statement that Jesus makes is, "I am the excellent shepherd." Now, I'll tell you, you will not find that in any English translation of the Bible. That's because you don't tamper with 500 years of tradition of people reading, "I am the good shepherd." But what Jesus is saying here is that he is more than above average. He is the perfect standard of what a shepherd is to be. And then what he goes on to say reflects this, and it helps us to understand and to know who Jesus is better. There is a way for us to know if someone is noble, if they are morally excellent, and it's by their actions. Jesus says that he is excellent by what he does. He lays down his life for his sheep. And knowing more about Jesus' world helps us to understand better why he is saying this and what he is saying. The Judean desert is not rain-soaked Western New York, where we have green pastures that are plentiful. Green pastures and peaceful streams are rare in Israel. There, the desert is harsh, and it is a hard place to live in, and it's full of predators. And in Jesus' time, and still today, what shepherds will do out in their fields is they will build sheep pens, where the sheep will be brought in at night. So during the day, the sheep are wandering around, eating and being watched over by the shepherds. But at night, two or three or four shepherds will come together with their herds and lead the sheep into the pen. And it would be built just like this. Stone wall, 3 to 4 feet tall. Thorn branches put up on the top to keep the sheep in and to keep predators out. And then one of the shepherds would lay down in front of the gate, the opening area, and he becomes the gatekeeper of the sheep pen. And the only people he's going to let in are his friends, the other shepherds. They come and they retrieve their sheep in the morning. If a wild animal or a thief tries to get into the sheep pen, the shepherd who is lying there can fight them off and to protect the sheep. And Jesus says, the noble, the excellent shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. Listen again to what Jesus says. This is his parable that he told.
I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief or a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. It might sound strange to us, but I find it rather interesting that Jesus says the sheep will know their shepherd's voice. Think about this. If you've got a sheep pen with three or four herds of sheep milling around in there, each shepherd has 25 sheep. That's anywhere between 75 to 100 sheep in that sheep pen. But when the shepherd calls, his sheep will come to him and follow him. I heard a story a couple of years ago. In Israel, back in the 90s, there was a conflict. The Israeli army had come into a village outside of Bethlehem. It was one of the major sites of the conflict at the time. And the commanding officer ordered that all of the animals needed to be rounded up and put away so the streets could be kept clear for the army. And after a couple of weeks, a widow approached him and asked for her sheep back. The sheep was her family's only source of income. And the commander pointed to a sheep pen that had hundreds and hundreds of sheep in there. And he says, "Well, lady, if you can figure out which ones are yours, you can have them." So she called her son, and he comes over, and he took out a reed flute and started to play a tune on it. And after several minutes, sheep's heads started to lift up. And then they all started to work their way to the gate, and they followed this young boy as he walked down the road playing the tune. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me," that's what he's talking about. When Jesus speaks, when Jesus plays his music, it touches the hearts of those who are his, and they follow him. The desert is a harsh place, especially for defenseless sheep. They have no sharp teeth, no claws, nothing to defend themselves from those who would steal or kill them. So sheep need that noble, excellent shepherd. They need him to guard them at night from the predators, and they need him to guide them during the day into those areas of fresh grass and clean water. Even though we live here in comfortable suburban America, in many ways we really do live in a metaphorical desert. It is a place that is just as dangerous as the Judean desert that Jesus talked about in his parables. No one needs a preacher to stand up and tell you about the threats that you face in your life. You just need to listen to the news, and you become aware of the moral and the ethical threats that we face. You hear about the abuse of children by adults or the abuse of seniors by caretakers. Even within the church, we are faced with thieves who climb in over the walls and misuse their positions of authority. As I say, none of us need a preacher to tell us about the dangers that we face. Some days, we just need to look in the mirror and we know how much we need a shepherd who will guide us. We know how much we need someone to lead us to that green, grassy meadow with those peaceful streams. That we need someone to walk with us when we are going through those dark valleys. We all know our hurts and our fears and our needs. So let me share with you what Jesus says about himself and why he is the excellent shepherd who will save you. When the Pharisees couldn't understand Jesus' parable of the sheep and the sheep pen, he gives them three bullet points, explanations of who he is. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come and go and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In those three statements, Jesus is making a pronouncement, and it is more than saying, I'm the Messiah. Did you notice that Jesus begins each of those statements with, I am? And in doing that, he is making a claim that he is God. Right there. I am. And he is saying, I am God. Over 1,000 years earlier, Moses was out taking care of sheep in the wilderness one day. And he sees a bush on fire, but it doesn't burn up. And so he goes over to check it out, and he has an encounter with God. And God gives him a mission to go back to Egypt to free the Hebrew slaves. But Moses says, but what name does God go by? What do I tell the people? And God replies, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. In those three statements that Jesus makes, he is taking two major theological statements of Old Testament Jewish theology, and he's applying them to himself. He is taking God's name, I am, and using it to describe who he is. And by the way, this is not the only time that Jesus makes these I am statements. He makes others as well. But with these statements, he is saying that he is more than a prophet or the promised Messiah. He is saying, I am God. And the parable and Jesus' explanations that we've read here, this is actually a continuation of the debate that he was having with the religious leaders over who he is. So when he starts to refer to himself as the good shepherd, he's answering their question about, well, who are you? I looked this up, and when I read the commentaries and stuff, it just kind of blows me away of where this comes from. It goes back to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. We don't really read a lot out of Ezekiel. It's a prophetic statement that he made. Now, here it is. 500 years before Jesus, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I am the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, here's the thing. When Ezekiel says this, not only is he 500 years before Jesus, he's 400 years after King David died. So when Ezekiel says for God that his servant David is going to be there, that's shorthand for the Messiah. This is one of the prophetic statements about the coming of the Messiah. God is going to send a shepherd to Israel. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is taking in one hand God's name, I am, and with the other hand, he is saying, I am the promised shepherd, and I am both of them for you. Just think how his disciples started to recall this parable and these statements after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. Just think of that. Think of what it means for you. Jesus is the gate to the sheep pen. Any sheep who come into the pen through him will be safe and saved. They'll have food and water. His sheep will have shalom. Jesus is the noble shepherd who will not just guide and guard the sheep, but he has died to save them. Jesus is the noble, excellent shepherd because he has laid down his life for all of us sheep in the world. And in doing that, he shows us how much God loves us, guarding us and in guiding us through the dangers of the deserts and the dark valleys that we find ourselves in. We have a shepherd to lead us. Thanks be to God. Going to ask, please take your hymnal and we're going to sing, I am thine, O Lord.
following your shepherd, your good, noble, excellent shepherd, who will lead you into the green meadows, who will pursue you with grace and mercy and love. Go now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.